As you see on the screen, this is the sentence that I would like to focus my homily on from the second reading. In this way, we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep His commandments. I have said on many occasions that in the 37 years that I have been a priest, if you would ask me what is the deepest insight that I've had, or the thing that I've noticed the most, is how little we know about what it means to love. I mean, and it's interesting because we hear that word all the time. You hear people falling in love, people saying, I love you, people saying, I love this, I love that. But rarely do people really understand what that word means when it comes out of Jesus' mouth. Because it doesn't mean what a lot of times we take it to mean. And that's why I wanted to focus on this. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Baptism of Jesus. It is the final Sunday. The Bridge Sunday. I made a mistake last week. And I thought that this Sunday belonged to ordinary time. But actually, it's the last Sunday of Christmas. And in the baptism of the Lord, what we are remembering is that at baptism, you were dedicated to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, many of us were baptized as children. And so, whether you accept the dedication of yourself as a disciple of Jesus is another issue. It's what I often say to people when I tease people. I always tease people by calling them Your Holiness. And of course, 90% of the people always say, oh, no, 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 Father, not me. And I always ask them the question, are you baptized? Well, yes. Well, then, you are holy. Because holiness is nothing you achieve. Holiness is a gift from God. Whether you live according to the holiness that has been given to you, now that's another issue. But you are holy. You are part of the holiness of God has been given to you. And what does it mean to be holy? What is that call that you were given at your baptism? Jesus gave us one commandment and one commandment that's most important. He said, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Now notice, the commandment does not say love one another any way you want to. It says love one another as I have loved you. So the question really is, when you use that word love, what are you referring to? Because you see, in English, we have one word, which is the word love. I always find it very helpful to remember that the Greeks had four different words for love. And they used the different words to mean the different kinds of love. Now, we use the same word, and what we hope that the person will do is we hope that they will have an intuition as to the difference. Like, for example, when you say to your mom, "I love you," and when you say to your boyfriend or your husband or your wife, "I love you," they are the same words. Do they mean the same thing? Or when you say to your brother or your sister, "Love you, man, love you," does it mean the same thing as when you look into a girl's eyes and you say, "I love you"? Inherently, we all know that when I'm looking at my brother, I'm not saying, "I'm in love with you." But notice we use the same words. And so we, hopefully, we trust our intuition that we can tell the difference. But it's always helpful to learn the four Greek words, even though you probably won't use them, but to learn so that in your head you can say, "Ah, they're talking about this." And it makes this a lot clearer. Let me tell you what the four words are. The four words are, first, a word you'll never recognize. The first word is storge. Some people call it storge. S-T-O-R-G-E. Storge. Storge in Greek is the kind of love that we refer to mostly as affection. I have a lot of affection for someone. It can be brotherly affection, be strong affection. It can be affection for any being, even a dog. I have storge, meaning I have a lot of affection for that person or for that dog, that little animal. That is the first and most general kind of love. The second kind of love that the Greeks recognized was philia. Now, philia is the love of friendship. When you have a real bond with another person and you really trust them, they are your friend. And I'm not talking about Facebook, okay? I'm talking about a friendship, a real friendship. That is philia. We even named a city after philia. It's called Philadelphia. Even though we pronounce it Philadelphia, it's actually Philadelphia. Delphus meaning brotherly love, a love of brother. That's why it's called the city of brotherly love. So it's philia. The third one is the word eros. The word eros is love, but in a romantic context. It can include just romance. It can include sexuality, sexual attraction. And it is the word that is used as the basis of the word erotic, which basically means sexual. But eros is much greater than that. It basically means any kind of romantic love. And then there is the last one. And the last one is agape. Agape in Greek means the love that is disinterested when you care about another human being, regardless of your feelings, when you care about them. And it is the love that is most often associated with the way God loves. Agape is a Greek word. Translated into Latin, it means caritas, where we get the word charity. Now, when we use the word love, which we have to use, because in order to be a disciple of Jesus, a disciple, and this is, I'm constantly pounding on this, a disciple means a student. When you call yourself a Catholic, you're saying not that you were baptized Catholic, or that's included, or that you go to church. But when you call yourself and your identity a Catholic, which is an adjective to the word Christian, a Catholic Christian, a Christian who believes in the main hold, the W-H-O-L tradition, O-L-E, tradition of the church. That is a disciple of Jesus. When you're saying that, that means you're learning from Jesus. It's almost like we're taking the class. And what does the class consist of? Well, the class to being a disciple of Jesus is, how do you love? Because remember, the word love can mean anything almost. It can mean those four words. People use it to mean anything almost. So when Jesus asks you to love, what is it that he is talking about? And remember, he said, love one another as I have loved you. So not just love you, man, you know, that kind of stuff. No, no. That's why you have this saying in the first letter of John. Now, I want you to analyze this. It's two sentences. Because in the two sentences, there's a lot revealed. Let's take the first sentence. In this way, we know that we love the children of God. Now, take that sentence first. Why do you have to know it? Because there's a lot of times people fake themselves out. And sometimes people say, I love, I love, I love, and they don't love. Because it's a fake love. And so, you got to ask yourself the question. When I make decisions in my relationships, am I making the most loving decisions? And how do I know that I'm making the most loving decisions? When I am dealing with somebody I love, how do I know that the decisions I am making are the most loving decisions? Well, in this way we know that we love the children of God. And how do we know that? When you love God and obey his commandments. Now, again, you have this word love. Well, how do you know that you're loving God? Is it that you bring candles to the Virgin Mary? Is it that you sit and you say your prayers and you feel wonderful and you feel, oh, God, you know, I can't tell you how many times people I talk to and it's all about how they feel about God. Now, please understand, nothing is wrong with your feelings. Enjoy them if they're good and put up with them if they're not. But you can't decide whether you're doing something loving based on how you feel. You haven't felt. Let me give you an example. If you have a person who, let's say, is a drunk, and they beg you, they're crying to you to give them some money for booze, and you give them some money and they stop crying, you may feel good. Oh, I made that person stop crying. But you didn't love them because you didn't do what was good for them. It made you feel good, but it didn't do good for the other person. This is something that I always like to use. When you love, especially when you're trying to love via a compassionate action, always ask yourself, Because there are two different kinds of compassion. There's sentimental compassion, and then there is effective compassion. Sentimental compassion is when you think you need to do something for another person, but you make a decision on what to do based on what makes you feel good about doing it. That's sentimental compassion. Effective compassion is when you look at that person and you go, regardless of how I feel, what is the best thing I can do for that person? Regardless of how it's going to make me feel. That's the effective compassion. So, how do you know when you love God? When you have good feelings to God? And John, the Apostle John in this letter says, no. If you want to know whether you love God, obey His commandments. Look at the second sentence. For the love of God is this, that we keep His commandments. He actually had to say it. The love of God is this. Not that you feel good towards God, but that you keep His commandments. That's why when Jesus used to say, there are lots of people who say, I love you, I love you, and love you, and don't do what I say. And that is cheap love. That's not real love. Real love is when you obey the person. I love the word. I used to hate the word. You know, God, you guys know that I really love etymology, the history of words, because they help me to understand what it is that I'm saying. I used to hate the word obey. Oh, do I have to obey you? Do I have to obey you? But you know where the word obey comes from? Obey and dire. Obedience is obey dire. Obey, if you speak Spanish, the word obey is totally related to the word oye, which means listen. Obey in Latin means listen. And dire is to what I say. Listen to what I say. Obedience is listen to what I say. And so, if you love someone, what John is saying, you listen. You listen closely to what they're saying. You try to live in common union, in communion with them. And so, that's why Jesus would say, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't say you love me and then do whatever the heck you want to do. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so, John repeats it. For the love of God is this, that we keep His commandments. And so now you go back to the first sentence. How do you know you're loving another person? You know that you're loving another person when you do for the other person what God wants for that other person. As best as you know it. As best as you know it. In this way, we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, when we first go to God and obey His commandments and apply His commandments to them, that's how you know you love a person. This is tremendously important. And I hear it all the time, not applied. Let me give you examples, for example. Let me give you an example. A lot of times I'm hearing confessions. And people will come in, and sometimes people will say, well, Father, I'm guilty of having sex outside of marriage with my girlfriend or my boyfriend. There's a lot of that. It goes on. And I'll say, you must not love them very much. And of course, that surprises them. Oh, yes, Father. I really love them. I really love them. That's why we're making love. Because I love them. And I go, let me ask a question. If you love a person, would you want that person to be closer to God? Well, yes. Yes. Question then. Is your behavior with that other person who is not your husband or wife, your sexual behavior, bringing them closer to God or driving them farther away from God? And all of a sudden, on the other side of the screen, there is dead silence. Why is there dead silence? Because they just realize that in making love, they are driving a person away from God. Bingo, to use a Catholic term. Okay. Bingo. Why? Because you can never, this is one of the best insights I've ever had, you can never love another person directly. Now let me say that again, and I want you to think through it. You can never love another person directly. You must always love them through God. Now, why do I say that? Because the moment I say, I have another person in front of me, and I say, I love you. You can say it. I love you. Now, if I mean that, it's between you and me, I and you. It's you and me. The question then is, if I have to use this love to make decisions about you, because obviously sooner or later I'm going to have to decide what to get you for your birthday, what to help you to do, how are we going to live together, how are we going to work together. There's all kinds of decisions in a relationship. If I am going to make decisions about our relationship, on what basis am I going to make those decisions? And you can say, well, since I love you, I'll find out what pleases you. And sometimes that's good. The problem is, sometimes it's not. Because sometimes the person that you love wants to be pleased by you doing something that is wrong for them. And in that case, you pleasing the other person turns out to be not loving them. So, those of you who are parents, when you love your children, do you always please them? Well, of course not. You cannot please. Why? Because you gotta love what is good for the other person, not what they want. If you know that what they want is not good, then giving it to them is not good. So what do you have to do? You have to ask yourself, what is really good for that person? Well, if they can't decide what's good for them, are you going to decide? So then you put yourself in control of another person, right? That's also not good, because all of a sudden you're deciding. So who gets to decide? That's why you have to go to God. You have to, in your head, or in your conscience, however you do it, you have to go and say, what do I do, God? How do I become a sign, a decision of what you want for this person? To the best of my knowledge. I'm not saying you're always going to know. You're not always going to know what God wants exactly for that person. But the very fact that you include God in that decision opens you to His grace, inspiring you to choose the best according to what God wants for that other person. That's what real love is. That's what real love is. And notice what you're doing. You're following, obeying God's commandments and applying them to the person that you love. That's why, folks, after all these years, the best definition I have of love is this. And if I had the courage to have a tattoo, I would tattoo this on my forehead backwards. Okay? So that I could look in the mirror and read it. Okay? It's this. Love, at its core, is the decision to unite yourself with God in caring for another person, no matter how you feel. Let me say it again. Love is the decision, not the feeling. Love is the decision to unite yourself with God in caring for another person, no matter how you feel. That's love. When you're in a relationship, and if any person doesn't want what is obviously good for you in God's eyes, run. Run. Because that person, I don't care how many times they use the word love, they don't love you. The only people who love you are the people who want what God wants for you. Those are the people who love you. The other people may have some kind of twisted feelings, and there may be a little mix of love there, but it's poisoned. It's poisoned. And so be careful, especially when you use the word love. And think about it. When you're in your relationships, this happens to me constantly. When you're dealing with everybody, because we're constantly dealing with people. I'm not just talking about the people that you're closest to. People at work, people at home, you know, people that you're in love with. You constantly have to make decisions. And the question is, how will you know if those decisions are loving decisions? And the way you know is by opening every decision quickly. You don't have to go into a prayer service every time you make these decisions. But quickly, open yourself to God. What would God want you to do for this person? To the best, and I'm not telling you you're always going to get it, but to the best of your ability, and let His grace inspire you. You're going to learn that your relationships flourish. And the relationships that die, those weren't the ones that were meant to go on. Because the only kind of love that has any future is the one that is fed through God. God bless. Thanks for listening.